Use the Pomodoro technique. Work for 25 minutes, stay focused, and avoid distractions. In today's world filled with technology, staying focused can be tough. Many wish for simpler times when distractions were fewer. But surprisingly, focusing wasn't any easier in the past than it is now. Take Victor Hugo, the French writer famous for writing Les Misérables in the 1800s. Legend has it that he found focus by working naked in his study, with only pen and paper. His assistant would unlock the door only after he finished writing. But what if you prefer clothes and don't have an assistant? Thankfully, modern methods can help us stay on track and beat procrastination. One powerful technique is the Pomodoro technique. In the 1980s, an Italian student named Francesco Cirillo found a way to beat distractions while studying. He split his study time into 25-minute blocks of focused work, followed by short breaks. Using a tomato-shaped kitchen timer, he named each block a Pomodoro, Italian for tomato. To start, clear your workspace of anything that might distract you, like clutter and open tabs. Turn off notifications on all devices. Next, set a timer for 25 minutes and work with full focus. Only deal with real emergencies. Everything else can wait until you finish. If you finish early, use the extra time to review your work. Enhance your focus with the Pomodoro technique. The Pomodoro technique helps you focus by using a timer. When it rings, take a 5-minute break. Avoid using your phone, internet, or reading during this break. Instead, make tea or take a walk. This break helps your brain move what you studied into long-term memory. This technique works because it stops multitasking, which hurts your focus. Research from the University of Michigan shows that switching between tasks can drop your brain performance by 30 to 40%. Only 2.5% of people can handle complex tasks smoothly. For others, the Pomodoro technique is a game changer. Switch between focused and relaxed thinking for difficult problems. One day, Olaf Schu, one of the authors, was flying his remote-controlled drone when it got stuck high in a tall tree. The branches were too distant to reach, even with a ladder, and too fragile to support him. Olaf was stumped about how to retrieve it. The more he pondered, the more he felt stuck. So, what did he decide to do? Instead of fretting, he took a break. After a brief pause, inspiration struck. He attached a fishing line to an arrow, shot it into the tree, and gently tugged on the line. The branches shook, and down came the drone. Olaf found a clever way to solve his problem by forgetting about it. Our brain has two main modes of thinking, focused and diffuse. When we use the Pomodoro technique, we're in focused mode, concentrating hard on our task. This works well for tackling problems we already know about. But when we're learning something new and complex, like differential calculus, just focusing isn't always enough. That's where diffuse mode comes in. It helps our brain process and understand fresh information by letting go of intense focus. Sometimes, by thinking less intensely, we find solutions more easily. Switch between focused and diffuse modes. Think of your brain as a maze. When you're focused, you're deep inside, figuring things out step by step. But when you hit a wall, switching gears lets your brain see the big picture from above, like drones over a maze. This helps you make new connections that are hard to see when you're stuck in the details. To switch into this mode, do something simple and routine, like brushing your teeth or taking a walk. Even when you're focused on something else, your brain keeps working in the background, making unexpected connections. For studying, try the hard start technique. Scan your material and find the toughest questions. Start with the hardest one and work on it until you get stuck. Then, switch to an easier question. When you go back to the tough one, you might just have that aha moment sooner than you think. Active action leads fastest deep learning. Learning something new involves your brain's nerve cells, called neurons, connecting through synapses. When you encounter a new word like metaphor, neurons start linking up. As you understand its meaning, these connections strengthen. You'll begin to spot metaphors in different situations, reinforcing those connections. This process continues as you practice what you've learned. However, this doesn't happen automatically. To remember new information well, your brain needs to work hard for it. Do you want to boost your brain power? Try challenging it regularly. Memorizing facts can be effective, especially with tools like Anki and Quizlet. For more complex ideas, though, you need to push yourself further. To grasp information, explain it in your own words and apply it to new situations. Here are some study tips to make learning stick. One method is elaboration, also called self-explanation. This technique tests how well you can explain what you're learning. Studies show it improves test scores significantly. For example, students who explained their answers scored around 90%, while those who didn't explain anything only managed 23%. Enhance your learning with a simple trick. Consider this scenario. You're getting ready for an art history exam about three famous painters, Manet, Van Gogh, and Gauguin. Normally, you'd study their paintings grouped by artist, which makes it easy because you know what to expect. But here's a trick. Mix up the paintings randomly so you don't know who painted each one right away. This makes your brain work harder to spot the differences in their styles. The more you compare their works, the clearer their unique styles become. And remember, to learn deeply, it's not just about studying hard. Physical exercise and good sleep are also crucial for your brain to absorb and remember what you learn. Information moves from working to long-term memory for effective learning. One morning, you wake up and feel strange. You've turned into a four-legged octopus. This octopus symbolizes your short-term or working memory, which Barbara Oakley and Olaf Schue call an attentional octopus. Most people have an attentional octopus with four legs, each holding a thought or idea in their working memory. The problem is that the octopus's legs are slippery and can't hold thoughts for long, making it hard to focus. Fortunately, these attentional legs connect to your long-term memory, pulling information from it like a mental storage locker. Your working memory can handle about 3 to 5 things at once, but your long-term memory is nearly unlimited. It stores information links you can access anytime, boosting your short-term memory. For example, if you don't know what apricity means, it might be tough to guess. But when you hear beautiful, you instantly understand it. This is because your long-term memory helps you remember concepts without needing to relearn them. Memory techniques for learning. To move information from working memory to long-term memory, use these strategies. Break material into smaller chunks. For example, if learning a monologue, focus on short passages first. After mastering each segment, combine them until you know the whole piece. Simplify the information you're learning by using easier terms. For example, replace torque with twist. For taking notes, try the split notes method. Draw a vertical line a third of the way from the left side of the page. Write notes in the larger right column and summarize key ideas in the smaller left column. Review your notes by covering the right side and recalling the details. Your learning system converts knowledge into quick intuition. Delivering a good tennis serve is tough at first. In your first lessons, you focus on basic techniques and watching the ball. With practice, it becomes second nature. Professional players don't remind themselves to watch the ball during a match. Initially, you use your declarative learning system, consciously acquiring skills. Over time, it becomes automatic as your procedural system takes over, letting you use your skills intuitively. Whether you're playing tennis or performing surgery, this shift from conscious learning to automatic execution happens through practice. Unlike the declarative system, where you're aware of what you're learning, the procedural system works in the background. Think of it as a black box. It takes in information from the outside, but you can't see what's happening inside. This is why people say, it's just like riding a bicycle. If you learn to ride a bike as a kid and practiced enough, it's stored in your long-term procedural memory. Even after years without riding, you might feel nervous at first, but once you start, your procedural memory takes over and you can ride smoothly again. You also use this system when studying subjects like math or a foreign language. Learning strategies. One effective method is to use self-explanation. Start with simpler problems and write down your thoughts for each step, even if you already know the answer. For instance, if you have a math problem with several parentheses, ask yourself how you can make the equation simpler. Doing this consistently for tougher questions will make finding solutions more natural over time. When learning a new language, practice recalling new words or phrases using a spaced repetition system. Many apps use algorithms that quiz you more on difficult items and less on easier ones until they stick in your memory long term. It takes time for new skills to become automatic, so starting early sets you up for handling more advanced topics later. Practice exams, review, discuss with others for effective exam preparation. Barb Oakley, an electrical engineering student, faced a tough exam. She studied hard on electric circuits from class notes, practiced questions, and helped classmates with tough concepts. But she failed, unlike others who passed. While Barb studied what was taught, her classmates went further. They found old exams from the professor and noticed a tricky twist never mentioned in class. Barb realized too late that just learning the material wasn't enough for exam success. Other factors can make or break your test performance. Using individual practice questions, like Barb did, is a good way to study. But Barb discovered that full practice tests are even better. Research shows that spending an hour taking practice exams is more effective than an hour of regular studying. Efficient approach to practice exams. How you approach these practice exams matters. It's not just about checking your answers. That doesn't help you learn how to get the right results. Relying only on memorizing answers makes you depend too much on your short-term memory, which isn't very effective. Trying to hold on to so much information at once without giving yourself time to process can overwhelm your brain and hurt your performance on exams. Make sure you challenge yourself to find the answers instead. Even for questions you know, working through them helps strengthen your memory and prepare you for the real test. Another key tip is to carefully read all exam questions to follow instructions correctly. Some tests may not require answering every question, and missing one could lower your grade. Lastly, keep an eye on the time. Tests have questions of different difficulty levels, so manage your time to handle the harder ones properly. Be a reflective learner. You might have seen contestants on talent shows like The X Factor or America's Got Talent react with shock when judges reject them. They believed their singing was amazing, but everyone else knew it wasn't. How did they get so confident without realizing their lack of talent? Maybe they couldn't think about their own singing clearly. Thinking about our thoughts, called metacognition, helps us ask for feedback and take criticism seriously. Some people naturally think more about their thinking than others. But just like any skill, you can improve your ability to think about how you learn. One way to start is by asking yourself questions about your learning from time to time. For example, ask yourself, "Should I change how I prioritize my studies?" And, "How can I become a better student?" A four-step method. Canadian psychologists Phil Wynn and Allison Hadwin have gone further and created a four-step method for managing your learning. First, make sure you understand what you need to do. Knowing what's expected will guide how you approach your learning. Before starting any task, be clear about exactly what you need to achieve. Often, students struggle to begin because they aren't sure about the task at hand. The second step involves setting clear goals and making a solid plan. Instead of just saying you want to learn Italian, decide to learn 1,000 Italian words in a specific time frame. Here's an example plan. Learn 50 words twice a day for 3 weeks, once in the morning and once in the evening. Next, start learning. Try out the different tools and resources mentioned in these insights. The final step is to take a break and check your progress. Is everything going as planned? Are some parts taking longer than expected? Why is that? If one method isn't working well, find a better one that moves you closer to your goal. Learning something new is always a challenge. But by using these techniques and evaluating yourself at each stage, you'll become a pro in no time. Key points. 1. Use the Pomodoro technique. Work for 25 minutes, then take a 5-minute break to stay focused. 2. Take breaks to switch your brain to diffuse mode, helping you find solutions to tough problems. 3. Break up complex information into smaller chunks to improve memory and understanding. 4. Regular practice, physical exercise, and sleep help your brain learn and retain information. 5. Use self-explanation to improve your learning and make concepts stick. 6. Practice with full mock exams, not just individual questions, to prepare better for tests. 7. Reflect on your learning progress and adjust your methods to improve efficiency.